Whoa, wait, stop, slow down. I know you're in a rush. I know that you're on the way headed to Jerusalem. And I know that none of you want to stop in dumpy little Bethlehem. But you're still 5 miles away from Jerusalem. Just sit for a moment next to our well. Have a drink of water. My name is Caleb Ben Jacob. And I can tell by the looks of you, some of you live in a small town in the middle of nowhere. And there is nothing worse than living in the middle of nowhere, right? Wrong. The only thing worse than living in the middle of nowhere is living in a garbage town like Bethlehem next to a great and important place, an important place like Jerusalem. Obviously, I'm a shepherd. And I tell you, the most frustrating thing about growing up as a shepherd in Bethlehem was sitting as a kid and I would watch all of these merchants and nobles and rulers and kings travel up the road to Jerusalem to go and worship. And I would want to be like them. I wanted to go and travel to different places. I wanted to go on adventures. I wanted to meet new people. And so I was so frustrated that I went to Simon, the innkeeper, the richest man in town. And I told him, Simon, you got to get me out of this. I'm tired of being a shepherd. I don't want to do this anymore. And Simon said, Caleb, I don't know what to tell you. To make money, you got to have money. To make money, you got to spend money. And you're a shepherd. Just enjoy your life and enjoy all the benefits that come along with being a shepherd. You know what the benefits of being a shepherd are? Everybody knows who you are, and so everybody knows your place in the ground. You are born a shepherd. Your entire family is a shepherd, and you will die a shepherd. My wife helps with the sheep. My kids help with the sheep. I have two kids. No, wait, five. Five, it's five. I have five kids. I always forget about the last three. Is there anything more frustrating than raising kids? Yeah, there is. You know what it is? It's raising sheep. It's the most frustrating job in the world. They're the dumbest animals that have ever existed. And therefore, being a shepherd is the dumbest job you can ever have. They really are. They're dumb. Hey, the water's right there. Drink the water. And they just look at you. The water's right there. It's over there. And they, it's over here. Go, drink the water. And they're like, I can't find the water. Where is it? Taking their head. It's right there. Oh, there it is. I see the water. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and predators. Predators. They are the worst. You think sheep just want to get eaten. Move away from the wolf. Get away. Just move. Just move so I can throw a rock at it and I don't hit you. They're the dumbest animals. Utterly frustrating. Utterly pointless job. My uncle, Yosef, would be sentimental about them. He'd often say, oh, we lost another sheep last night to the lions. He's crying. Or sometimes he'd get theological and he'd say, well, these are the sheep that some of them will get sacrificed up in the temple in Jerusalem for my sin. When sheep are alive, they're useful. They give us wool so we can make clothing. And they make okay pets. And when they're dead, they're delicious! I don't understand Uncle Yosef. One night, me, Uncle Yosef, and Jonathan were out late at night watching the sheep. Oh, I forgot to mention. Sheep had to be watched 24/7 because they can't take care of themselves overnight. They can't take care of themselves for an hour. They can't take care of themselves for a minute. So we were up late at night watching the sheep. And as the three of us are standing there, of course, Uncle Yosef gets theological again. Hey, some of these sheep will be sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins. And that should remind us, it should remind us every day that one day God will send his Messiah and put an end to sin and bring peace between God and man. And I said, Uncle Yosef, God hasn't done anything in Israel for centuries. He doesn't really care. He's not listening. And my brother Jonathan said, how can you say that? You of all people, how dare you say that? You're a shepherd. You watch over the flocks. You guard them. You lead them. You feed them. And yes, they sometimes don't appreciate it and they don't understand all the things that you do. But in the same way, God watches over us, watches over you all the time. You can't say that. And I said to Jonathan, yeah, but the sheep can hear my voice and they can feel my rod and they can see me. Nobody in Israel's heard or seen God do anything forever. I turned around. And there was a man standing there, just standing there. I didn't even hear him. He was wearing this white, bright white tunic. And I was about to stop and ask him who he was and what his name was. But before I could open my mouth, all of a sudden, his eyes lit on fire. Six wings grew out of his back. And then the sky erupted in fire all around us. The fire was red and blue and green and orange. Jonathan and Uncle Yosef fell to the ground, terrified, crying, "It's the glory of God!" But not me. I stood there and I said, And then the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news that will be great joy for all the people. For on this day in the city of David has been born the Savior. He is the Messiah Lord. Go, find him. You will find him wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And then from one end of the sky all the way to the other, the heavenly army appeared. There were angels everywhere. They had flaming swords and flaming staffs, and they had armor and helmets, and they were ready for war, but they didn't come to battle. They began to sing praise, and they said, "Glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then they started flying up back to heaven. And we watched them until we could no longer tell the difference between them and the stars in the sky. Jonathan stood up. He said, I told you God is working, he's active. What would you do with this news? Uncle Yosef said, "Come on, Jonathan, you and I should go find this child in Bethlehem. Caleb, you stay with the sheep." What? I said, "This is the most important news we've ever heard." No, this is the most important news anyone has ever heard. Forget the sheep. And so the three of us, in the middle of the night, began running through the fields, down the hills, over boulders, over logs, into the city of Bethlehem. And I said, "Where are we going to find this kid? How are we going to find him? What do we do?" And Uncle Yosef said, "Oh, the angel said we'd find him lying in a trough. We'd find him lying in a manger." And I said, "Yeah, that's weird. What kind of mother puts their baby in a feeding trough? Like, what if an animal gets confused and accidentally eats him, you know?" Jonathan said, "Oh, come on, really?" And I said, "Hey, sheep are dumb enough to try." Uncle Yosef said, "We should go ask Simon the innkeeper. He usually knows what's going on. Caleb, you go ask him." "Why me? It's late at night. And if he gets angry, I don't want him mad at me. Great. So I went up to the inn. And Simon came. He's just, so tired. I said, Simon, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But we're looking for a baby that was just born. Do you know where we can find the baby? And Simon said, what are you, the kid's grandmother? Who cares? And I said, no, it's really important. We got to find this kid. Do you have any idea? There was a couple that came and they were pregnant and there's no room here. We're all filled up. So I told them they could sleep in the stables. Oh, thank you, Simon. Thank you so much. And the three of us, we ran around back and we ran and we rushed into that stable. And as we rushed in, there was a man there. Shh. And there was a woman, a young woman sitting next to a manger. The kind of feeding trough we use to feed our sheep sometimes. And in that manger, there was a little baby wrapped in cloth, drifting in and out of sleep. Here was our hope. Here was peace on earth. Here was the Savior of the whole world. What do you do when you have a baby? What do you do with a newborn baby? No, I'm serious. What do you do with a baby? I mean, for men. I mean, men have no clue. Women, they all know what to do. When a woman sees a newborn baby, what does she do? She tries to strategize with the mom to like try and get to hold the baby and tries to negotiate her way to get that baby into her arms somehow, right? I know that's what women do. But what in the world do men do when you see a baby? I've had two and I have no clue what to do to this day. Uncle Yosef came over and bent down. And he said, here is the Messiah, the one promised to us long ago. He will bring an end to sin and make peace between God and men. My entire life, I was frustrated. Not just with a single situation. I was frustrated with my entire life. I was frustrated with my job. I was frustrated with my career. I was frustrated with where I lived, and I was stuck, and I could do nothing. But when I saw that baby, I knew all of my hope, all of my purpose would be found in him. And so the only thing I could do was kneel down and say, praise God. Thank you. The parents, the mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, we shared with them everything that we had seen. And they told us about their story and how he was to be named Jesus, God Saves. And they were very attentive and very interested, but it was really late at night and they were exhausted. And so even though we could have stayed there all night long, all day long for the rest of our lives, we walked out of the stable. And in the cold night air, I said to the others, I said, what do we do now? What do we do with this news? And Uncle Yosef said, well, we better get back to those sheep. But Jonathan said, are you kidding me? Caleb was right. This is the most important news anyone has ever heard. We can't keep this to ourselves. We have to go share it. And Uncle Yosef said, yeah, you're right. Caleb, go tell Simon. So I went up to the inn. Simon came. Oh, what? Why? What do you want, Caleb? I am tired. It's been a long day. What do you want? I said, I know. I'm sorry. But the Savior's been born. The Savior, the Messiah, the King of the whole world, he's been born. Oh, what are you going on about? I don't understand anything. Right in your barn behind you, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah from the line of David, he has been born today. And Simon said, that's too much. I don't believe it. If God was going to give me this kind of news, he'd like send an angel or something. And I'm like, oh, he did. He did. He sent an angel. We just saw them out in the field and bright lights and flaming swords. He did. We did. And Simon said, no, I meant to me. God would send an angel to me, not some shepherd. And he slammed the door. And he was right. I was a nobody. I was an absolute nobody. I was just a shepherd. Everyone knew who I was, so everyone knew my place. But then it occurred to me, maybe God isn't the God of kings and rulers and nobles. Maybe God is the God of nobodies. Maybe he's the God of absolute nobodies like me, and maybe he chooses to use nobodies like me to bring his gospel, his good news into the world, because it's for everybody and not just for kings and rulers. So that night, we immediately began going around town telling everyone and waking them up and knocking on doors. We woke up the elderly. We woke up sleeping babies. Some people slammed the doors in our faces, but many people celebrated. Nobody slept in Bethlehem that night. And it was like a party in the middle of the night as we celebrated that the Savior of the world, the King of the whole universe, God's long-awaited Messiah had been born in little garbage town of Bethlehem. Finally, when the sun began coming back up, we went back to the sheep. Now look, I know you have to go, but what are you going to do with this news? What are you going to do with this news? The news that the Messiah, that Jesus, the King, has been born. He has come to take away our sin. He has come to make all things new. He's come to make all things right. He is the Prince of Peace. What are you going to do with this news? I think you should celebrate with everybody. I think you should celebrate with everybody and tell them that Jesus has come, the King has come, the Savior of the world has come, that we can have peace with God through Jesus, through the Messiah. Don't just tell people the news. Celebrate with them. Celebrate with them. Celebrate with everybody. If you want to share the gospel, throw a party.